Welcome back to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Last week marked the end of an era in Maryland politics. On Friday, Mike Miller, who had recently retired from the Maryland General Assembly, where he had served for nearly 50 years, passed away at the age of 78 after a long battle with cancer. He was elected to the House of Delegates in 1970, to the Senate in 1974, and in 1986, he ran unopposed to be the president of the Maryland Senate. And by the time he relinquished the gavel a year ago, he had served longer than any other Senate president in the country. Joining me now to share his reflections about Mike Miller's legacy is Senator Jim Rosapep, who represents the 21st District in Prince George's and Anne Arundel counties. Senator, welcome back. Good to talk to you.
Same here.
So your reflections on Senate President Miller.
Well, a couple of different ones. Obviously, what everybody knows is he had a huge impact on the state over many, many decades. One of the questions, though, that I would get repeatedly over the years from people, since I've been in the Senate, from people who didn't like Mike Miller, and there were people who didn't like Mike Miller, as you can imagine, would be, why do you guys keep reelecting him Senate President? And my answer to that, which was absolutely factual, is he was the smartest guy in the Senate, he was the hardest working guy in the Senate, and he was the guy who most wanted to be Senate President. Who knew that brain, hard work, and motivation made a difference? The other thing that always struck me about Mike was he had a long-term view. His long tenure, longest of any Senate President of the United States in American history, is a good argument against term limits because, you know, governors come and go, and legislators like Mike understand that when they make decisions today, they're going to live with the results a decade from now, which makes them more thoughtful. And Mike was very thoughtful about what is this going to mean down the road. For example, he led a, I don't know, decade long, maybe more than a decade long crusade to bring gambling, casino gambling to Maryland. Now, why did he do that? He did that because he had, since he got to the legislature until he left the legislature literally a couple of weeks ago, his number one priority was education. And he knew that you need to invest more in education. And he knew that it was hard to convince people to be taxed. And so he decided that he would take on the long-term project of convincing Maryland that we should raise money for education through gambling. And it was very hard. And he knew that he was going to get lots of criticism, as he did from people like the late Speaker Mike Bush, who was opposed to it very sincerely and fought very hard, but also would get a lot of criticism from education advocates who are against gambling. And he was like, look, you're not willing to make the tough calls. I'm willing to make the tough calls. And he fought to do it. I saw that over and over and over again. He played the long game.
Yeah, that's interesting. In the long game, he was really good at it. I wonder, do you think he was, you know, ultimately successful partially because he was adaptable? We think of Mike Miller as a, you know, very powerful guy, and he was. I mean, he ruled the roost in a very authoritative way. But the legislature was different in 1971 when he joined it, or 2001 or 2021 when he left. I mean, was he able to change with the times and to adapt his style to get what he was after getting?
Well, I met him for the first time in November of 1980. I was assigned to work a polling place for Jimmy Carter and for our U.S. Senate candidate in Clinton, Maryland. And he was working the polls in his district. I met him for the first time. And obviously worked with him particularly in Prince George's politics, and then when I got to the legislature, and now most recently in the state Senate. I don't think he changed in the sense that I think he never was an ideologue. He had broad priorities and values, and the ones that came up time and time again that didn't get that much public attention because he was very outspoken and he was gruff and all that kind of stuff. His education and the environment were like the things he actually really cared about. And so in 1980, the politics of those issues were somewhat different in Maryland. And they were different in 1990, and they were different in 2000, and they were different in 2010, and they were different last year. And there were different players and redistricting, all that kind of stuff. But what he was doing all the time that I saw him was exactly what people say they want people in Washington to do, what they want Mitch McConnell and Joe Biden to do, is to work together to get stuff done. And so it was not hard for him to embrace policy positions in the shorter term that may have been inconsistent with an earlier policy position if it was in the broad direction that he felt the state was going.
In our last couple of minutes, how do you think the legislature and the way you all operate will change now that he is, you know, physically not here? We've known for some time, since 2018, when he announced that he had cancer, that he was ill. He resigned from the Senate presidency and then stayed in the Senate, and then just this year announced that he was no longer physically capable of doing that. So it's not unexpected that Mr. Miller has passed, but now that this has actually happened, do you think it's going to change the Senate and the modus operandi and the tenor of the Senate and the General Assembly at large will change?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it changed much more rapidly than I expected it to as soon as he stepped down as Senate president. You know, one of the interesting things about Mike taking the long view is he timed all his decisions on leaving the Senate presidency and leaving the Senate to have an influence over his successors. And so Bill Ferguson is Senate president in large part because he's someone who Mike Miller thought would be a good Senate president. Michael Jackson, who just got appointed to Mike Miller's Senate seat, had been recruited and groomed by Mike Miller. So his influence goes on. On the other hand, there's no senator, there's no legislator who served in the legislature without Mike Miller as Senate president. And so the culture he created is the culture we inherited, but it's one that is actually changing quite fast without him working with us every day.
Yeah, and of course, you know, there's so many other exigencies going on this year, given the pandemic and the enormity of the problems that you all face. Senator Jim Rosapep, thank you so much for your time, and good luck and Godspeed this year in the session. I appreciate it.
Thanks an awful lot. Nice to talk to you.
Senate President Emeritus Mike Miller will lie in state in the Statehouse in Annapolis on Thursday and Friday. And again, because of the pandemic, viewings will be by invitation and appointment only. His family will hold a private funeral at their church in Clinton on Saturday. That's it for us today. Tomorrow at noon, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be sworn into office. We will bring you complete coverage of this historic inauguration beginning at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'm Tom Hall. I'll be back with you Thursday. Until then, thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
This is your NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.